Imagine you sell this perfectly safe, highly rated product online. It's a total bestseller. You have your logistics completely dialed in. On July 7th, 2026, one of your packages hits the U.S. border and, just sails through to your customer in a matter of hours.
Like clockwork.
Exactly. But then the very next day, July 8th, that exact same product from the exact same factory gets seized at the border.
Oh.
And it gets held in a warehouse for 60 days. You lose the sale, your customer leaves a one-star review, and your marketplace metrics completely tank. So what changed overnight?
Well, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission changed. Or, I mean, more accurately, their entire approach to border enforcement fundamentally shifted.
Right.
We're looking at a scenario where the physical border is being replaced by this aggressive, real-time data gatekeeper.
Because we usually think of e-commerce logistics as this like frictionless magic trick,
Well,
You
completely.
sit on your couch, you click a button on a Shopify store, and a pristine box just kind of manifests on your porch a couple days later.
Yeah, as a consumer, you expect absolute perfection.
But if you're the one actually running that direct-to-consumer brand, you know that seamless loop is incredibly fragile.
It's so fragile. I mean, it's held together by incredibly tight transit times, fragile supply chains, and just really complex customs documentation.
Yeah.
And today's deep dive is built around a comprehensive new guide from ClickShip. Our mission here is to unpack a massive regulatory bottleneck that's about to disrupt all of that.
Right, because the CPSC is rolling out this mandatory electronic filing overhaul, the e-filing system.
Exactly. It's a complete transition from a slow, kind of passive, paper-based document review process to an automated algorithmic wall at the border.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if a package sails through on July 7th but triggers a catastrophic hold on July 8th, what physical mechanism is suddenly stopping it? I mean, we need to understand the actual mechanics of this new checkpoint.
Well, historically, e-commerce compliance has been what we call passive.
Passive, right?
Yeah. So let's say you manufacture or import a regulated consumer product.
Yeah.
By law, you always needed a certificate of compliance.
Sure.
But in reality, that certificate usually just sat in a digital folder on your company's hard drive, basically gathering digital dust.
You never actually submitted it to anyone.
Never. Unless a customs officer manually flagged your specific package out of, millions, or a safety issue popped up after it was already on store shelves, nobody at the border ever looked at it.
It was essentially an honor system. Like, it's kind of similar to having your car's registration in the glove box.
Exactly.
Nobody cares about that piece of paper until a police officer pulls you over for a broken taillight and asks to see it.
That is the perfect analogy. But that passive approach totally dies on July 8th, 2026.
Wow.
Yeah. The CPSC is integrating their new rule directly into U.S. Customs Automated Commercial Environment System.
The ACE system.
Right, the ACE system. And they're doing this through a specialized data channel called the Partner Government Agency, or PGA, message set.
So instead of a human customs officer occasionally pulling a package over, the software system itself becomes the permanent checkpoint.
Precisely.
It kind of reminds me of the evolution of nightclub security. Like, it used to be that a bouncer might ask for your ID if you looked, particularly young or suspicious. That's the old customs system.
Right, the random check.
Yeah. But the new system fires the bouncer and installs an automated turnstile. It scans a biometric passport for every single person trying to walk in. And if you don't have that exact biometric data preloaded into the cloud,
A trapdoor opens right beneath you.
exactly.
Let's actually trace your package through that exact turnstile to see how the trapdoor works.
Okay.
When an e-commerce shipment hits the U.S. border, the ACE Customs software instantly scans its Harmonized Tariff Schedule code, the HTS code.
Which basically tells customs what the item is.
Right. And if that HTS code matches a CPSC regulated product category, the software immediately pauses the clearance process and looks for that e-filing PGA data
It demands the digital passport in real time.
in milliseconds. If the electronic compliance data is present in the system, a background automated risk assessment runs, and your package gets fast-tracked. It clears the turnstile.
But if it's not there.
If that PGA data is missing, or even just incomplete, the software triggers an immediate border hold. No human intervention required at all.
Wait, so if this turnstile is completely indiscriminate and armed at all times, who is actually triggering these trap doors?
a lot of people, honestly.
I mean, does this only apply to massive commercial pallets, like a shipping container full of goods coming into a warehouse on a freight ship? Or does it apply to a single padded envelope crossing the border straight to a consumer?
It targets commercial shipments across all major transit lines.
Really? All of them?
All of them. So for an international e-commerce entrepreneur, let's say a Canadian brand shipping into the U.S., this means you can no longer handle compliance as an afterthought. Bulk freight or a steady stream of direct-to-consumer parcels, it really doesn't matter. The compliance data has to be coded directly into your upstream shipping pipeline before the physical item ever reaches the border.
Okay, so we know the trapdoor is ready and waiting. Let's talk about the products themselves.
Sure.
I imagine things like baby cribs and pacifiers are highly regulated, but how far does this net actually cast?
So the ClickShip guide maps the high-exposure e-commerce niches into two main buckets, and each one requires a different type of certification.
Okay, what's the first one?
The most heavily scrutinized bucket is the children's niche. That requires a CPC, which is a children's product certificate.
Right, because the bar for safety is obviously going to be highest for kids.
Exactly. Anything targeted at or designed primarily for children aged 12 or younger falls under this. We're talking plush toys, educational games, plastics, playsets, all that stuff.
Makes sense.
But it also extends into nursery essentials, like cribs, bassinets, high chairs, and baby monitors. And it covers children's apparel, too, from toddler clothing to baby onesies and highly regulated sleepwear.
Yeah, that feels entirely reasonable. I mean, we all want baby toys and sleepwear heavily vetted before they end up in a nursery.
Well, of course.
But what falls outside of that children's category?
Well, the second bucket is the general use niche. And this requires a GCC, a General Certificate of Conformity.
Okay.
This covers products intended for adults, but that are still subject to specific federal safety rules. So adult apparel, textiles, electronics, lifestyle accessories, home goods, fitness goods.
Okay, wait, I have to push back on that a little bit.
Go for it.
I completely understand a strict automated border checkpoint for a baby monitor, but adult clothes, a mattress, like a standard charging block for my smartphone.
Mm.
Why on earth are those lumped into this aggressive data gatekeeper?
Well, what's fascinating here is how the CPSC actually defines danger. Okay. We tend to view safety through a very narrow lens,
yeah.
You know, usually just like choking hazards for toddlers.
Right. Sharp edges, things like that.
Yeah, but federal safety regulations are vastly broader. Think about adult apparel. Specific textiles and fabrics are subject to really specialized flammability standards.
Oh, I guess I never really thought about that.
Yeah, and a simple power adapter, an extension cord, or a wireless speaker with a lithium-ion battery carries a very real, scientifically documented fire risk.
Right. Battery fires are terrifying.
Exactly. Mattresses have to meet strict fire retardant standards so a house doesn't just go up in flames from a dropped candle.
Mm.
Bicycle helmets have impact standards. The CPSC is hunting for anything that could cause a fire, a shock, or a severe physical injury in an adult's home.
Wow. So a clothing brand might assume they're totally immune to this simply because they don't sell baby clothes.
Oh, absolutely.
They could be walking right into an automated trap door without even knowing their garments are regulated.
And ignorance of the regulation definitely won't prevent the border hold.
No kidding.
So to make this actionable, the guide strongly recommends using a digital tool provided by the CPSC called the Regulatory Robot.
Regulatory Robot. Love the name.
It's pretty great. It's an interactive assistant. You just input your product's specific characteristics, and it outputs the exact testing obligations that apply to your unique items. It completely eliminates the guesswork.
Okay, so the ACE system reads the HTS code and knows you are selling a regulated product, like, say, a lithium battery power bank.
Right.
What is it actually asking for at that turnstile? I mean, it can't just be a simple checkbox that says, yes, this is safe.
Not even close. It is a massive, highly structured data burden.
Yikes.
When you ship commercially into the U.S., you're legally designated as the importer or the certifying party. To get past the ACE system, you have to compile and transmit 7 mandatory data elements for every regulated product.
7 elements. Walk us through these. Like, what level of detail are we talking about here?
It gets pretty granular. First is the product ID. This is a distinct alphanumeric code, like a SKU UPC or global trade item number, identifying the precise item.
Okay, that's standard. What's next?
Second are the safety citations. You can't just claim it's safe. You have to list the specific federal consumer product safety standards it conforms to.
Like what?
For example, citing 16 CFR Part 1500.44 for the flammability of solids.
Wait, you are literally citing the legal code.
You are literally citing the legal code.
Okay.
Third is manufacturing details. You must provide the exact month, year, city, province, or state, and country where the final product was manufactured or assembled.
Wait, hold on. The exact month and city?
Yep.
Why does the CPSC care if a power bank was made in April versus May, or in one specific province over another? Why can't you just declare made in China or made in Canada?
And it all comes down to forensic traceability.
Okay.
Say a specific batch of red paint used in a factory in Shenzhen during the month of April is suddenly found to contain illegal levels of lead. The CPSC wants to isolate that exact batch. They don't want to ban your entire catalog, and they definitely don't want a massive guessing game. They need to surgically identify the contaminated shipments.
That makes the bureaucracy feel a lot less arbitrary, honestly. It's a forensic system.
Exactly.
What are the next elements?
Fourth is testing records. You need the exact date and geographic location where the product actually underwent the safety testing.
Right.
Fifth is lab credentials. The complete official name, physical address, email, and phone number of the laboratory that performed the testing. And if you're relying on any legal exemptions for testing, those have to be explicitly stated here.
So they can call the lab and verify you didn't just Photoshop a certificate.
Precisely. They want proof. Sixth is the custodian contact. This is the full name, physical address, email, and phone number of the designated individual inside your company responsible for maintaining the raw testing data.
Why a specific individual's name? I mean, most companies would just use a generic compliance email address, right?
The CPSC really wants accountability here. They want a direct line to a human being who is legally responsible for holding the paperwork. They don't want their inquiries bouncing around some unmonitored customer support inbox.
That makes sense. And the last one.
The seventh element is certifier info. This is your e-commerce, business name, corporate address, and contact info, serving as your official legal attestation that all this data is accurate.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. And by interesting, I mean an absolute operational nightmare.
Oh, for sure.
Let's say I run a successful direct-to-consumer brand. I have dozens of active SKUs. I have different colors, different sizes, seasonal variations.
Right, a normal catalog.
Yeah. Are e-commerce operators expected to manually type out seven massive hyper-specific data fields, including lab addresses and legal codes, for every single cross-border package they ship? I mean, what happens if an intern mistypes one digit on a lab's phone number?
And this is where we see the catastrophic ripple effect. If your e-filing data is missing, incomplete, or even just corrupted by a single typo, the ACE software triggers a border hold.
This is from a typo.
Just from a typo. And a customs hold from the CPSC is not a slight 24-hour hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
Shipments can be held for up to 60 days while the data is investigated.
60 days.
Up to 60 days.
We're operating in a landscape where consumers panic if a tracking number doesn't update in 24 hours.
Exactly. An unexplainable 2-month delay guarantees immediate chargebacks from credit card companies. Your customer support inbox will just be flooded.
It's game over for that sale.
You'll accumulate destructive 1-star reviews that completely tank your store's conversion rates. The end consumer does not care about the CPSC's new turnstile. They just know they paid you and received nothing.
And that is just the direct customer on your own website.
Right.
The consequences must be even more severe if you're fulfilling orders through a third-party marketplace.
Oh, the marketplace ripple effect is often fatal for smaller brands.
I can imagine.
If you fulfill orders into the U.S. via Amazon Merchant Fulfilled Network, Walmart Marketplace, or Etsy, these unexpected border holds will instantly destroy your on-time delivery rate metrics.
The algorithms demand perfection.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Poor shipping metrics lead to algorithmic suppression, meaning your products are just buried on page 10 of the search results, or it leads to complete account suspension. A single mistyped data field could literally get you kicked off Amazon.
The punishment for a clerical error is essentially business death.
Yeah.
And I imagine those goods sitting in a border warehouse aren't storing themselves for free either.
No. And that is the third ripple. Compounding financial overhead.
Ouch.
You get hit with cargo examination fees, daily storage fees at the border, and handling charges. And if you ultimately cannot produce the correct data to reconcile the hold, the CPSC can formally refuse entry.
What happens then?
They will force you to pay for the destruction of the merchandise or pay exorbitant return shipping fees. You lose the inventory, you refund the sale, and you pay a premium for the privilege of destroying your own products.
Wow. Every e-commerce operator listening is likely doing the math in their head right now, realizing the sheer volume of data entry this requires. A 60-day hold is a business killer.
It really is.
How does a brand scale this securely without typing paragraphs of lab credentials thousands of times a day? I mean, there has to be a better way.
Well, the CPSC recognized that transmitting all seven elements manually for every single package would throttle global logistics.
And drive customs broker fees through the roof.
Exactly. So their solution is what the ClickShip Guide calls the ultimate e-commerce hack. The CPSC product registry.
The product registry? How does that bypass the data entry?
It basically acts as a secure cloud-based vault. Instead of doing data entry at the time of shipping, merchants proactively preload their entire product catalog into this system long before an order is ever placed.
Oh, that's smart.
You upload all seven mandatory compliance details for every SKU you sell. Once the registry verifies the data, it generates a permanent certifier ID for your business entity and a unique certificate identifier for each specific product.
Okay, this operates exactly like TSA PreCheck for your products. You go to an office, you undergo the extensive background check once, you provide your fingerprints and documentation, and they give you a known traveler number. When you actually arrive at the airport, or in this case, the U.S. border, you just hand them that one number and breeze right through the metal detector.
It is the exact same mechanism. In this context, it's known as reference filing. By utilizing the registry, you drop your active customs clearance workflow from seven complex fields down to just three high-level reference points.
Just three?
Yep. When a package is shipped, your electronic transmission only needs the product ID, your pre-assigned certifier ID, and the specific certificate identifier.
That is amazing. Three short numerical codes instead of manually typing out the name and address of a testing lab in another country.
When those three fields hit the ACE border software, it instantly pings the CPSC product registry and pulls down all the verified testing, manufacturing, and laboratory records in milliseconds.
Wow.
It keeps your data footprint incredibly light and automates the entire process, rendering it practically error-free at the moment of transit.
That system is brilliant. But July 2026 is approaching rapidly.
It's right around the corner.
If a brand wants to secure that TSA PreCheck status, what actionable steps do they need to take right now?
The guide lays out a highly specific five-step survival plan.
All right, hit us with step one.
Step one is to map and classify your store's SKUs. You need to audit your entire product catalog immediately. Separate your inventory into regulated versus non-regulated categories using the CPSC's HTS code lists and that online regulatory robot we discussed earlier.
Right. And ClickShip's platform can actually help facilitate this mapping process, right?
Yes, exactly. It's a huge help.
Because you really can't build a compliance strategy if you don't even know which of your products are regulated in the first place.
Exactly.
What is step two?
Step two, centralize supplier and testing data. This is actually the most time-sensitive step. You must contact your overseas or domestic factories today. Request structured, digital copies of all valid laboratory safety test reports, exact factory locations, and production dates. You need to build a centralized internal compliance database.
The urgency there totally makes sense. I mean, trying to track down a factory manager in Shenzhen for a PDF lab report from 2 years ago is going to be absolutely impossible if you wait until your package is locked in a border warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Supply chain amnesia is a real thing. Factories close, managers leave, records get deleted.
Which leads directly to step three. Set up your CPSC product registry account. Onboard your brand onto the official CPSC portal early. Take the time to pre-register your top-selling regulated SKUs so you can secure those certifier IDs and certificate identifiers well ahead of the summer deadline.
Get the busy work out of the way now.
Precisely. Step four is to align your shipping and customs data channels.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Whoever handles your customs clearance entries, whether you use automated shipping software or a traditional customs broker, they must have explicit automated access to your product identifiers and registry credentials.
The flow of data really has to be seamless.
It has to be.
You can't rely on an employee copying and pasting codes from an Excel sheet into a shipping portal every afternoon.
No, the integration must be automated so it transmits via the ACE system the literal second a shipping label is generated.
Right. And the final step.
Finally, step five, conduct a low-risk test run.
Oh, a test run.
Yeah. The CPSC has launched a voluntary e-filing testing program. Use it. Run live data trials through the ACE interface right now.
Why do that now?
It allows you to spot technical friction points, API failures, or mistyped HTS codes in a completely penalty-free sandbox environment way before the mandatory enforcement date triggers real-world holds.
That is fantastic advice. So what does this all mean? Ultimately, this ClickShip guide highlights a really fundamental evolution in direct-to-consumer business.
It really does.
E-commerce success is no longer simply a contest of who has the best social media marketing, you know, the sleekest website or the lowest shipping rates.
No, not at all.
It is becoming a game of data supremacy. Mastering your CPSC compliance workflows is how you maintain that magical, seamless checkout loop, delight your U.S. customers, and scale your brand while your less prepared competitors are just drowning in 60-day border holds.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are witnessing a permanent paradigm shift in global logistics.
Absolutely.
Regulatory compliance is fully leaving the physical realm of paper documents and human inspectors. The border is no longer just a geographical line on a map. It's being transformed into a purely algorithmic data gate.
And that concept leads to a thought I want you to mull over as we wrap up today's deep dive. We started by discussing the frictionless experience of clicking buy now and expecting a perfect physical delivery.
Right.
When we think of global trade disruptions, our minds naturally go to physical bottlenecks. You know, a massive cargo ship wedged sideways in a canal, a hurricane shutting down a port, or a localized strike-halting delivery truck.
Physical stuff.
Exactly. But if the U.S. border is aggressively shifting toward millisecond, algorithmic approvals based entirely on highly structured compliance data, how long until global trade is entirely dictated by AI gates?
It's a crazy thought.
Will the most devastating supply chain crises of the next decade be caused by physical ships stuck in physical canals? Or by a single line of miswritten code in a cloud registry, instantly shutting down millions of packages?
Wow.
We have basically replaced the human bouncer with a digital turnstile connected to a global neural network. Are we truly prepared for a world where a minor data error is vastly more destructive to global logistics than a flat tire on a delivery truck? Something to keep in mind the next time you hit checkout.